British chef Allegra McEvedy's approach to life and food seems to be that she's primed for the next adventure. And her latest book proves this out. It's really a scrapbook of a restless, curious cook who's roamed every continent, collecting dishes, stories, and most especially knives. They carry her into lives and places. She's called the book Bought, Borrowed, and Stolen: Recipes and Knives from a Traveling Chef. Allegra, good to have you with us. Welcome.
Brilliant to talk to you, Lynn.
So you love to roam. Where did this come from?
Well, I think it started with my father, who was an historian, and he took us all over the world when we were growing up. And family holidays to me were all about sort of clambering over ruins in the Middle East and looking at cathedrals and all these sorts of amazing cultural things from when I was a tiny, tiny girl. And I just thought that's what holidays were. And I think, although I did go on strike once or twice as a teenager, I think it instilled something in me about, you know, when we do have time off from our work, it's nice to go and learn and absorb some cultures as opposed to just lying on a beach and getting a tan.
All right, but the theme of this book is built around your collecting knives all over the world. But the knives, I mean, your knives are not everyday knives. It's not like you're out there finding another paring knife or another chef's knife. Why don't you talk about some of your favorites? When I say pick a knife, which one first comes to mind?
Oh, no, you're right. I mean, I am obsessed with my knives, and they all have to have character and soul and a little bit of something special from the country that I got them in. So I think probably there's two that come to mind straight away. One is my Malawian tea-tending knife, which is a thing of incredible beauty and character. It's got a straight shaft of about kind of 15 inches and then a curve around the end, a full 180-degree curve, which is a beautiful as well, it's used for taking the very top leaves off a tea plant.
Yeah, I think so describe it, it almost looks like the knife has a wooden handle, a rectangular wooden handle, and it looks like a long J. The blade is a long J with a point.
You're obviously
at the
better
end.
At this radio business than me. That's a very good
You're
way
You're used
of
to doing
it.
Television, aren't you? I can tell. I can tell.
Well, you know, well, I'm actually holding the knife as I speak, so it's easy. It's just I'm sort of looking at it and trying to put it in words, but you've done it very elegantly. But anyway, so I got that in a Malawian tea plantation. This guy just knew I was admiring it, and he left it for me outside my bedroom door the next morning when we were flying off. So it was also a very kind thing to do because Malawi is an incredibly poor country, and this guy, who was one of the farmers on this cooperative, did something so generous by giving me his knife that I would never dare to ask for. And then the other one that jumps to mind is my unagi saki, as I call it, which is a Japanese knife without a wooden handle. Look, you do the words. You're much better at it than I am.
Well, I'm looking at it in the book, and this knife is a flat piece of metal. It's a long rectangular piece of metal with an angled end that's the blade, I guess. And you know what it looks like? It looks like a box cutter that they didn't put a handle on. What is this thing for?
Well, it's for doing a very specific filleting job with an eel. You know how specific the Japanese are. It's one thing for a certain job and another for another, and it has to be just so. Well, and this was doing a very specific thing to an eel that I kind of understood, but my Japanese isn't brilliant, but we kind of worked it out between us, me and the guy in the knife shop. And it came from this amazing knife shop in Kyoto that's been making knives for the emperor's family and kitchens for over 500 years. So it's sort of, you know, it's steeped in history, this shop, and just rammed. I was like a kid in the toy shop. You can imagine. I was a bit sweaty and overexcited in there. but I came away with this one because I've never, ever seen a knife like it. You know, it's got no rivets, no handle. It's just one piece of steel. And it's just beautiful and so sharp. It's very elegant, very brutal, and very effective.
What was the hardest knife to get?
Probably my Hong Kong chopper, I would have to say. I mean, I traveled around China and Hong Kong for about 3.5 weeks, and I kept looking at knives. And I didn't see anything that I really couldn't have got back in London. And then on the last day, we were in the big market, the food market in Kowloon, and there's one floor for veg, fruit and veg, one floor for meat, and one floor for fish. And on the meat floor, the butcher's floor, there's about probably 100 stalls, but all of these guys were using the same knife. It came in three different sizes, but it was exactly the same knife. And so I was trying to say to them that I'm a chef and I've been taught the word for chef. I've been taught like sushi or something, and offering some money and trying to get the knives. And they all just laughed at me and pointed, and I was sort of, you know, not getting anywhere. And then I went back to the hotel and we were literally flying out the next morning. And I just said to the guy in the kitchen, I said, can you possibly tell us we can get these? Because everyone's got them. They must be available somewhere. And he told me the street, and it was literally monsooning down outside, Lynn, and we just fought our way through the monsoon, and this long street that seemed to go on forever, and my painting, good picture for you, went
yeah,
on
you got
forever
it.
And ever and ever, and we were fighting against the driving rain, and it was just, and then just as I was about to give up, I saw this one shot with enormous steam of baskets hanging out outside it. I was just like, if that's not it, we're going home. And I went inside, and I showed her a picture that I'd taken on my phone of this knife, and she went back, and she pulled one out, and she said, "It's last." She said, "Last one, last one." And it was the daddy of the collection. It was the biggest of the three, and it's enormous. I don't know how I got it back through customs, but I love it so much, and it's very, very impressive.
Allegra, thank you. A whole new world of knives to consider. Thank you.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Lynn. Thanks for taking the time to talk about me and my knives.
Allegra McEvity is author of Bought, Borrowed, and Stolen, Recipes and Knives from a Traveling Chef. Now, in honor of Allegra's much-treasured Malawi tea knife, try her recipe for Malawi ginger and garlic fried fish. It's on the website, splendidtable.org.